I don't know if you know this or not, but the Bible tells us that there are two kinds of wisdom. There is earthly wisdom and there's heavenly wisdom. Earthly wisdom leads to destruction and death. Heavenly wisdom leads to righteousness and eternal life. The Word of God gives us a good description of both types of wisdom, and most importantly, how we can make heavenly wisdom a part of our daily life. This morning we'll be examining both types of wisdom as we continue our study of the book of James. And gaining heavenly wisdom is one of the great reasons we gather together each Sunday as well. We open the Word of God and God reveals His wisdom to us. It's one of the great discoveries of life that God has made available to us His wisdom. Think about that for a few minutes. Wisdom from heaven. Just like everything that happens to us, we have a choice. We have the choice to either choose earthly wisdom or heavenly wisdom. And, you know, I just like the sound of that heavenly wisdom. Don't you? So I want to ask yourself this morning, is your life guided by wisdom from heaven? Or are you just blindly going through life, banging into problems, trying to figure things out on your own, running into roadblocks, entanglements, traps, and experiencing constant frustration? If that's your case, perhaps you need some wisdom from heaven. Perhaps you need wisdom from the God who made you and loves you and knows what's best for you. First, you must know and be convinced that God is wise and that His wisdom is the best wisdom that you could ever receive. Listen to the prayer that the prophet Daniel prayed. This is from Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 through 23. Daniel was in a very difficult situation. He was actually facing death, and he laid his request before God and asked God for wisdom. And this is what he prayed after God gave him the wisdom that he needed. He said and prayed, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to Him. It is He who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is He who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. To You, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for You have given me wisdom and power. Even now You have made known to me what we have requested of You." I'd like to suggest to you this morning that the way to a peaceful, contented life is to experience wisdom from heaven. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 and 30, that Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God, who became to us wisdom from God and the right and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So in other words, the wisest thing that we could do is to trust Jesus, who will forgive our sins and bring us to God. And when Christ brings us to God, He fills us with His Spirit and He guides us with the wisdom of God. So if you want heavenly wisdom, you first must put your trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. Jesus will give you the peace of God. And as you trust Him and follow Him, He will be your shepherd and your guide. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I hope that you will do that even today. If you are with us here and have a bulletin, there's an outline of the passage that we're going to look at this morning. So I would encourage you to take a look at that outline. It'll give you an overview of what we're going to talk about. We're studying the book of James, and we've come to the passage at the end of chapter 3. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 13 and end the chapter. And if you don't have a Bible, you can grab the Bible from the rack in front of you, and you'll find this passage on page 855. James chapter 3, starting with verse 13. Please follow along with me as I read this passage. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Before we talk about these verses, let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for giving us direction and reminding us that you have made your wisdom available to us. And so, Lord, I pray that as we look at this passage, we'll have a greater understanding of what your wisdom is all about, and that we would seek you and your wisdom in every situation. And this we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. First, let's take a look at verse 13. And in this opening verse, James asks a question. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" In one sense, it's a rhetorical question. Most people are convinced that they are wise. And by that I mean that most people are convinced that they know what's best for themselves. For that reason, most people don't want anyone telling them what to do, what to believe, who to vote for. Most people don't want anyone telling them what is right or wrong, how to spend their money, how to raise their kids, or what to eat to be healthy. Most people are convinced that they know what's best for themselves. And so they consider themselves wise. So James basically says this: if you're wise, prove it by a good life. Now let's talk about that phrase, good life. Most of us Americans live a good life. After all, we live in fairly nice houses. We have food to eat, and generally we get to choose the food we want to eat. That's not the case in most of the world. Most people in the world have a very limited selection and eat only what's available. We have the internet to explore. We have TV shows and movies to entertain us. We have hobbies, sports, and a variety of subjects to keep us busy. And if there's things that we can't afford, we can usually find really nice things at garage sales, right? The good life is found at garage sales. Many people believe that and experience that. So most of us Americans would say that we have a good life. But that is not what the Bible calls a good life. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 that only God is good. So according to Jesus, a good life must be connected to the life of God. Here's what the Bible says is a good life. A good life is seeking first the kingdom of God. In other words, instead of building my own kingdom, there is greater satisfaction in building God's kingdom. A good life is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead of being filled with self, being filled with the Holy Spirit brings a good life. Being yielded to Christ and allowing Him to control and empower us, that's the good life. The good life is walking in the Holy Spirit, going throughout the day yielded to Christ and allowing Him to speak through me to others, allowing Christ to accomplish His work in and through me at my job, at my studies, at my interaction with other people. The good life is praying without ceasing. In other words, instead of going through the day talking to myself and others, I go through my day talking to God and with others. The good life is walking in the light as He, Jesus, is in the light. No hidden sins, no hidden activities that you know would not please God, no double life. The good life is learning from God's Word. And so a person who wants the good life actively reads God's Word every day. The good life is worshiping, as Jesus says, in spirit and in truth. Someone who honestly loves God and wants to worship and experience His presence in their lives. The good life is gathering with other believers like we're doing this morning. Gathering with other believers who love God. Psalm 16 talks about other believers, and this is what King David says about other believers. He says, "They are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight." Think about that for a few minutes. You see other believers who love the Lord Jesus, and you can look at them and say, "Look, there's a majestic one." You know, if we viewed one another as majestic ones, what a great change that would make in our relationships with other believers. And so the good life is connecting with other people who know and love the Lord Jesus. The good life is being unashamed of the gospel. The good life is helping others come to know Christ. The good life is honoring God with a tithe and being content to live on the rest. The good life is recognizing sin and avoiding it. The good life is loving God and loving others. James doesn't give us a list like that. He just sums it all up with this one powerful phrase. The good life is doing good deeds in humility. That's what he says in verse 13. By deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So what is deeds done in humility? Good deeds done in humility is doing good things without looking for credit or praise. Doing good things all to please God, who gives us the ability to do those good things. It's doing good things not to bring attention to ourselves, but to God. The Lord Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and give praise to your Father in heaven." Doing good deeds in humility means doing every good deed as a service unto Jesus. That's the good life. This is not the first time we've seen the importance of good deeds. We've talked about it back in chapter 2. But I want to say something that I wish I had talked about when we were looking at the whole idea of good deeds back in chapter 2. You know, oftentimes, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, I think, oh, I wish I had said this or I wish I had said that. And so here's something I wish I had said back in chapter 2, and so I'll say it right now. Because I know that many of you are doing good deeds. And I'm blessed as I see the good deeds that I hear about and see in your lives. And, you know, I think about a mother caring for little ones. That's a lot of good deeds. And maybe you're a mother caring for little ones and you're just plain tired. You may be caring for someone with serious health problems and it's really difficult. You may be doing good deeds for someone who's totally ungrateful or totally even unaware that you're doing those good deeds for them. And so I want to say to you who are doing good deeds, don't give up. Don't focus on the difficulty. Focus on Christ who endured the cross for you. Hebrews 12, verse 3 says, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says this, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Deeds done in humility bring joy to the heart. And so I want to encourage you to continue serving Christ and doing good deeds in humility. Now look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth." You know, earthly wisdom seeks to take us away from God. In earthly wisdom, man is supreme. Man is God. Earthly wisdom cares nothing about the will of God or the purpose of God. Earthly wisdom cares nothing for the design of God and seeks to pervert and subvert God's will. And he gives a few examples here. He gives the example of bitter envy, or it could be translated bitter jealousy. It has the idea of taking away from others in order to prove yourself better than others. There is the phrase here, selfish ambition. Earthly wisdom is self-centered, always planning, always scheming to get the best for yourself. Earthly wisdom tells us to put ourselves first, others to put others down, to shut others up so that we can get what we want. That's earthly wisdom. And earthly wisdom is boastful and arrogant. Earthly wisdom wants to devise ways to bring attention to ourselves. Earthly wisdom wants to take credit for the things that God has done. Earthly wisdom wants us to say, look at me, I'm great. But 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says this, why do you boast? What do you have that God has not given you? And when you think about it, everything we have comes from God. That's what Scripture teaches. Earthly wisdom denies the truth that God is the blessed controller of all things. We like to think that we're in control, and we want to be in control so that we can take credit for the things that happen. The result of envy and selfish ambition is disorder and every evil practice. He says, verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you have disorder and every evil practice. So verse 15 says that wisdom is of the devil. And it could be better translated demonic. Earthly wisdom is demonic. So we see that the root source of earthly wisdom is Satan himself, working through demons to turn us away from God and to bring us to hell. Satan is always deceiving and giving earthly wisdom to those who will listen. He got the attention of Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he got Eve to doubt God's word. He said, has God really said that? And then he flat out lied to Eve and said, you will surely not die. Now, did Eve die? Yes. She's not around anymore, if you haven't noticed that. She died immediately, spiritually, because her disobedience brought sin into her heart and separated her from God. So she died spiritually immediately, and later she died physically. Satan uses lies to bring us to deception so that we'll accept earthly wisdom. And because both Adam and Eve became sinful, they gave birth to sinful children. And so the entire human race is now infected with people who have sinful hearts. Notice that in verse 14 it says that envy and selfish ambition come from the heart. You know, that's exactly what Jesus said. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus said, for from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. And that is the blatant truth that earthly wisdom tries to avoid. That man is unclean and unfit for heaven. Man is unclean and needs to have his sins washed away. Only Jesus can wash us. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could become clean. And that's why it's so important that we receive heavenly wisdom. Now in the next few passages, there is a description of heavenly wisdom, and I've listed them in your outline. Heavenly wisdom is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, sincere. It is sown in peace and results in righteousness. So I'd like to talk about each one of these words. First, it says that heavenly wisdom is pure. It is the Greek word hagnos. It carries the idea of being completely clean, being free of contamination. Jesus said, Blessed are the pure at heart, for they shall see God. God's wisdom is pure, preparing us to see God. The Greek word hagnos comes from another Greek word, hagios, which is usually translated holy. So there's this close connection between pure and holiness. So it would be correct to say that pure wisdom is holy wisdom, coming from above, from God Himself. It is the pure wisdom of God that prepares us to enter the presence of the Lord Jesus. 1 John 3, verses 2 through 3 says this, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, Jesus, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. The Lord Jesus is pure, God is pure, and His wisdom is pure. Secondly, it says that the wisdom from heaven is peace-loving. Again, James must have been thinking of the words of Jesus. Jesus said, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You know, there's that idea of like father, like son, and Jesus expresses that in that beatitude, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. God is a God of peace. He created a world of peace. We destroyed the world of peace He created by our disobedience. But God sent Jesus to bring peace between us and God. And so the Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in His wisdom, He directs us to be peacemakers by bringing people to Christ. Thirdly, the wisdom of God is considerate. It carries the idea of being gentle or fair and or courteous. Gentleness always wins. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, A gentle answer turns away wrath. Again, you know, you think of a situation, somebody's yelling and screaming at you, just give them a gentle answer. All of a sudden, the tone will come down. I've seen it many times. Jesus said, Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. When Jesus returns and sets up His kingdom on earth, it's the gentle who will rule, not the arrogant and self-centered. Everyone loves a gentle father, a gentle mother, a gentle friend. Then fourthly, it says that the wisdom of God is submissive. The word has the idea of being teachable, the opposite of a, quote, know-it-all, one who is willing to listen, one who's willing to let someone else take the limelight. That's what it means that the wisdom of God is submissive. Fifthly, it says that the wisdom from heaven is full of mercy and good fruit. Again, it seems that James has the Beatitudes in mind. Jesus said, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. God's mercy is evident in every believer who follows Christ. Forgiving those who have wronged us, actually helping those who have wronged us, it implies having compassion for anyone who is suffering. This past week, Linda and I listened to a testimony of an American who was in Iran and because of his belief in Christ, he was thrown in prison. And he was beaten regularly. And God just spoke to his heart and he said, You know what? I just need to love and care for this guard who beats me every day. And one day he stuck his hand through the bars and said, You know what? I want to be your friend. And it completely shook the guard up. It completely changed the guard's attitude. God's wisdom is full of mercy. And you know, I was thinking about that. Here's this guy, he's in prison, he's getting beaten every day. And you would think that he's the one who would need the mercy, right? But instead, he shows mercy to the guy who beat him and tortured him. This is the wisdom from heaven. And then sixthly, wisdom from heaven is impartial. It's the Greek word adiakritos. And this is the only place in the entire New Testament where this word is found. It literally means to not be parted or divided. The idea of treating everyone equally. The idea of giving everyone value. Not showing partiality. Not showing favoritism. Something that James talked about back in chapter 2. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40, there's the story of Jesus traveling through Galilee. And it says in verse 40 that a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. "If you are willing, you can make me clean," he said. Now, if you're not familiar with the disease of leprosy, it's a terrible, terrible disease. The skin literally rots on your body, wherever it is. Sometimes the sores are open so much that you can look at the sore and see right down to the bone. It was a very contagious disease, much more so than COVID. And because it was so contagious, people who had leprosy could not live in town. They couldn't live with their families. They had to live outside of town. They couldn't associate with anyone except for other people who had the same disease. And people who had leprosy, if they wanted to leave that place where they were quarantined, they had to shout and say, "Unclean, unclean." And when anybody heard somebody say that word unclean, they would like turn in the opposite direction and run. People with leprosy were very lonely. They were isolated. And so here's this man with leprosy who comes to Jesus. And I would guess that Jesus is the only person who didn't turn and run when this man with leprosy came and approached him. Jesus stood his ground against the disease. And it says that filled with compassion, he reached out his hand and touched the man. Jesus touched the untouchable. And Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 37, "He who comes to me, I will nowise cast out." Jesus does not show impartiality. The wisdom from heaven does not show is not impartial. And so Jesus said to the man with leprosy, "I am willing, be clean." And immediately Scripture says, the leprosy left the man and he was cured. Jesus is impartial. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. It doesn't matter what condition your body is in. If you come to Jesus, he will receive you and he will cleanse you of your sins. He will be your guide. He will be your shepherd. He will give you his wisdom in every situation. God's wisdom is impartial. Seventhly, wisdom from heaven is sincere. The wisdom from heaven is honest. The wisdom from heaven is genuine. This word could be translated without hypocrisy. And the New American Standard Bible translates it that way, that the wisdom from heaven is without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is one of the sins that Jesus condemned the most. He condemned hypocrisy 4 times in the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke chapter 12, he warned his disciples, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." In other words, he's saying, beware of the Pharisees. Hypocrisy fills everything they say and do. When a group of Pharisees tried to trap Jesus, Jesus said this, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites?" He confronted hypocrites head on. God's wisdom is sincere without hypocrisy. It is a sad thing that that is one of the biggest complaints and criticisms of Christians, that Christians are hypocrites. And apart from the Spirit of God, apart from the wisdom from heaven, We cannot live a sincere life. We need God's wisdom in all that we do so that we can live lives without hypocrisy. Then eighth, it says that the wisdom from heaven is sown in peace and results in righteousness. There is here in this last phrase a parable. It is the wisdom of God that is sown. So the it is wisdom. So heavenly wisdom is like a seed. The seed of heavenly wisdom is planted or sown in the heart that is at peace with God. In other words, if a believer will just accept that seed of wisdom from heaven, it'll take root in our hearts and change us. Heavenly wisdom will permeate our being. Heavenly wisdom will transform our minds so that we'll exhibit the righteousness of God in everything that we do. Perhaps that's why Proverbs 16, verse 16 says, "How much better it is to get wisdom than gold." The wisdom from heaven should be something that we long for, yearn for, seek, and chase after. I want to end by reminding you that in chapter 1 of James, God promises to give us wisdom if we just ask. If you need wisdom today, I would invite you to call upon God for wisdom. James 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." God has made available to us through the Lord Jesus his wisdom in every situation. Oftentimes we find ourselves, you know, trying to choose between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Shall I do this for myself? Should I do this for Christ? Should I just go along with everyone else, or should I follow the Lord Jesus? I want to encourage you to turn to Jesus. Accept that wisdom from heaven. You'll be blessed, and you'll experience the abundant life that Christ has for each one of us. So let's talk about a few points of application before we close our time together. The first and most obvious application would be to put your trust in the Lord Jesus. And if you've never accepted him as your Savior and your Lord, I want to encourage you to repent of your sins. Put your trust in him. Ask him to come into your heart and fill you with his Spirit. He'll lead you and guide you with wisdom from heaven. Then it would probably be good for us to take a few minutes and look at our lives. Is our life good? Are we living a good life according to the Bible's definition of a good life? Are we seeking first his kingdom? Are we walking in the light as he is in the light? Are we loving God and loving others? Are we seeking his wisdom? Is your life characterized by the wisdom of God? And of course, an obvious application today is we should be quick to reject earthly wisdom. We should be quick to reject living a self-centered life. And so we should confess any envy or jealousy or selfishness. And then lastly, of course, we should seek God's wisdom. And God's wisdom is contained in the Scriptures. That's why it's so important that we read the Scriptures every day. The Lord Jesus refers to the Scriptures as our food and nourishment. And so I want to encourage you to make it a habit to read the Scriptures each day. If you're having a problem with that, then I would suggest that you get one of the daily breads. They're free. They're out in the lobby. If you're not here, you can just call us and request one. We'll mail it to you. And that's just a guide to help you get into the Scriptures every day. And then secondly, I think another important aspect of experiencing wisdom from heaven is just hanging around heavenly wise people, hanging around other people who know and love the Lord Jesus. Come to church as you are here this morning. Worship God in spirit and in truth, and fellowship with other believers at every opportunity. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for these simple yet profound truths. We thank you that you've made available to us wisdom from heaven. And Lord, we want to stop and pause and allow your Spirit to examine our hearts. And so, Lord, in the quietness of our hearts, we confess our sin to you. Lord, it's so easy to place ourselves first. It's so easy to ignore the needs of others. But thank you, Lord, for your word that brings us back on track and reminds us of your love and mercy towards us and how good and right it is to share your mercy with others. And so, Lord, I pray that you would create a hunger in our hearts for you and for your wisdom, and that we would be quick to reject earthly wisdom, and that we would, Lord, seek to know your will, and that we'd be eager to please you in all that we do. How wonderful it would be to say the right things at the right time. How wonderful it would be to do the right things at the right time, just like the Lord Jesus. We know, Lord, that that only comes as we abide in Christ and allow the wisdom of heaven to guide our life. And so, Lord, we pray that you would lead us and guide us with your heavenly wisdom. And we praise you, the awesome God, who desires the best for us in every situation. And for this, we give you praise and thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.